honored to have all of you guys. Some of you are traveling here to see family. Some of you just happened to find us on YouTube or the internet or whatever, and you just came today, and we don't want you to check us out because we're just human people. We're just human people trying to find who Jesus is in our life. We want you to know that we want to help you find a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that today, you could start today by faith, believing on Him. And we want that to be the very end all of everything that we do. Before I get into my message today, I got a couple of things. First of all, I got to correct the news because it just happened this morning. We are actually postponing the gathering tonight for a couple of reasons. One, it's 104 heat index, and this is an outdoor event. So praise the Lord for that, right? And I love the hot weather, by the way, so I'm not a cold weather guy. So if we have it, it's 30, I won't be there. But anyway, no, but we're canceled for that. And also, they're saying storms will come through. We hardly ever move things for weather because it's so unpredictable, especially this time of year. And the weatherman's the only guy I know of that can be wrong 90% of the time and still have a job. But anyway, God bless them. I love them. But anyway, you got to feel sorry for them a lot of times, too, trying to predict something around here that's so unpredictable. But anyway, we'll postpone that. Next thing I want to do is thank Emily. She did a great job last week. If you guys were here, will you just honor her, please, together with me? Liz and I were gone last week over to a church in Florence. We had a great time over there. And just a very interesting worship time. And bless you, man. Come on, brother. Come on, he's good for three. Got another one in your bill? Come on, man. Woo, man. He's just looking for blessings. That's what he's doing. I too bless you. Get on, bless you. No, man, we had a great time over there. My mom got to come to church with us and that kind of stuff. It was good to see her and some friends there. But anyway, just glad to be back, man. I always miss being here when we're gone, and so just so grateful for our church family. And I got to say one more thing too. And Impact starts next week. I listened a little bit to the news today. It's hard when I'm back here to hear all the news stuff. But even if it was in there, I'm going to reiterate. Next week is Impact Step One. If you're new to our church and you really want to know what we're all about and kind of what God is doing in our life here and the life of our church and to try to get plugged into what we're doing, or just to come and kick the tires and see if this might be a place that you would like to worship. We don't want to take you away from your church or anything like that. But if you're looking, if you want to come, it'd be a great time. It's next Sunday at 5:00. We'll be step one right here at the building, right here in the auditorium. And so just come and be a part of that. It's just it's really kind of a fun time to be together. So come and be a part of that. Also, can't go any further without thanking Jennifer. I said Emily, but also Jennifer, man. What a great job. I love when we – yeah, go ahead. That's great. Yeah, praise God for that. If you didn't get to see last week the message, please go online to our website, get the app, go to YouTube, whatever, and find it and listen to the message. It's a really great message, and just adding the art along with that was so good, and she's so talented and gifted, Jennifer is. And we just love you, sis. I think you're back over there. I see shadows, but we love you and appreciate your heart using that. From the very fall of man, you know, God created Adam and Eve, and he said, it is good. It's really very good. And he put them in a perfect paradise, and everything was great. And he gave them a choice. You can have life, or you can have knowledge. And they pulled from the tree and chose knowledge. And when they separated themselves from God, God began at that moment looking for them. I always thought God just booted them out. Get out of my garden, you sinners, you sorry people. Get out of here. I don't want you anymore. That's not what he did at all. The Bible says he's looking for them. Adam, where are you? I mean, like he didn't know. But I'm saying he's accommodating what's going on in their life. They were hiding in the trees. And from then on, I mean, Genesis 3:15, you can read about it from, not just from then on, from way before that ever happened. I'm going to say that in a minute. Way before that ever happened, God planned that he would save you and me by the power of the death and resurrection of his son. And the scripture says he did that from the foundation of the earth. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that just happened. And what's interesting that I found out this week is, that I didn't find it out this week, I knew it, but it's just one of those things that kind of was like, whoa, wow, that hit me in the face. That almost everybody that God came in contact with in the world and he created and brought into the world had to learn one thing. There's really only one thing to learn, and that is, you either trust God or you don't. I mean, there's no like, well, I trust him today. He's all right. I mean, he's giving me what I want. But we're going to talk about some of these things later. But it's not. It's like this in and out thing with some people. It's like, I'll go to church for a while, and I'll get it all figured out. And then something bad happens, and it goes, whoa, God, where did that came from? And it's okay to ask him where that came from. Psalmist does it all the time. Cry out to him. If you're hurting, you need to cry out to him. Even if you don't believe in him, cry out to him, because he's there. Whether you like it or believe it or not, he's there. And he's not going anywhere. In fact, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on us. He created the nation of Israel through Abraham and told Abraham, I want you to leave the land of Ur where you're from. I'll leave this paganism. Leave this life that you have chosen. I want you to leave this life. Take up your family and all the stuff that went with all of that. And I want you to leave. And I want you to go to a country that I'll show you. Just leave. I'll show you where to go. Can you imagine that conversation with his wife? Hey, we're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'd like to do that, by the way. Just get in my car and say, you know, I just don't have a destination. Let's just take a week and go somewhere, or 2 weeks, or 3 months, whatever. You know, just go. But this had to be like, what? But his faith led him to believe, and he's believing in God. And the Bible says his faith was counted to him for righteousness. And so my point with all that is saying that Abraham was sent to a place to trust God. And you look at every story in the Bible, you can't name a person in Scripture that wasn't put in a place where at some point in their life they didn't have this choice of having to say, do I trust this God I follow or do I not trust him? And everybody in this room, and by the way, hello to everybody online and everybody that ever hears this, if they hear this 10,000 years from now on a recording in a cloud somewhere and we're all dead and gone, it'll still be true that the only choice you have in this life is you either trust God or you don't. And we live in a culture and a place in our world right now who are questioning anything that has to do with the Bible, with God. And it's like what the world that Peter lived in. We're going to go through 1 Peter. For those of you who are guests and didn't hear this, we're starting a series today called Hope in Exile. And that should tell you right there that you got to have some hope. And that's not like a hope. It's not like a hope. Hope in the Bible is confidence. It's confidence while I'm in a place where I feel like I'm out of place. And here's another kicker, just to say it. If you don't feel out of place in this world, then you definitely need to check your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you love the Lord, and you claim that you love the Lord, and you say that he is Lord of your life, you don't fit into this culture at all. Amen. At all. Amen. And it's getting to a point, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, where kids are challenged every day in their schools with atheism and homosexuality and all these things that are out there lying and cheating and stealing. And that it's like life has become nothing to people. And it's because we stopped trusting in the only source of life that exists. And part of the reason some of you are not trusting in God is because you're just flat scared to do so right now. You're worried about somebody going to talk about you, or somebody's going to say something about you, or you've got that little thing in your head about, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong and I live my life for this Jesus and it's not real and all those things? You got to put those things away. And even in those moments where things are drastically really bad and you feel like an outsider, which you should, and you feel like you don't fit, and you don't understand why, if you're trusting in God and you're trusting in his way and his will, I'm not telling you everything's going to work out, because it didn't for these guys and it's not for you. In fact, it may get harder, but you'll always know that you're standing on truth. And that is something our culture has just stopped believing in. And I could give you some illustrations that all of you would just be like, yep. But I won't. You know, we live in a world full of one lie after another. And the enemy has us so deceived. And we do it all in the name of freedom. That's what's so hilarious. We're free in this country. We can do whatever we want to do. Read the book of Judges. Bible says they did anything they wanted to. Everything in their mind that they wanted to do. And it says that everything in their mind was evil always continually in the scriptures. And that's when God decided to kill them through the flood. But later on in the Judges, it was everybody did what was right in his own eyes. And as long as we keep doing this kind of thing, then we're going to miss the point of our life. And like Micah said, it's not about, we're not here to entertain you on this stage. We're not here to show you some great music. And we showed you some great music today. But that's not the point. We didn't write any of that music. We didn't perform it for you today. And you didn't stand there and sing it with your hands in the air so everybody around you could say, look how spiritual I am. If you did, that's your reward. That's all you get. Is somebody going, oh, yeah, you're just a great Christian. That's it. Jesus said, we don't do it in front of people for that reason. And he's right again when he said, "It to the world, it looks crazy. It does. It looks like we're going nutso in here. You bow your head and pray to somebody that they don't believe in. You think how crazy that looks to them? Come on, y'all. We know it's not crazy. And we do it in spite of what people think about it. Because we love and trust our Father. Peter starts his letter off this way. Y'all want to get into some word now? That's the introduction, so next hour will be word. Can I just give you a little bit of a, I don't know if I want to warn you or not. I'm not going to warn you. Let's just go. You ready? Here we go. This letter, and by the way, these books, we call them books of the Bible. They're actually, this one is a letter. If you ever hear it called an epistle, that's just another word for a letter written to certain people most of the time. Sometimes the letters in the Bible were written to specific persons or specific people. Sometimes they were written in a general way to a lot of different people. And this is kind of one of those epistles where I'm writing to all these people that live in this particular area of the world. So here's what he says. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners. Everybody say, I'm a foreigner. Y'all look at your neighbor and say, you look like a stranger today. Yeah. Now look at the person on the other side that you just ignored and say, you look a little stranger than normal. The concept is that we're all strangers in this world, and Peter's writing to people who predominantly were of the Jewish descent. They were Jewish people who had been converted to Jesus Christ. They accepted Christ as Lord, and they're living in what he calls here the provinces of Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And this is all, if you can imagine in your mind, north of the Mediterranean Sea in the Middle East, where the Asia Minor or Turkey, we call it, that's the country of Turkey. That's where these people were. And they were a Greco-Roman world, which means they were Roman in control, and they spoke the Greek language. And so you got all these people who were Jewish in descent to go into this area, probably spoke Greek as well. Peter, I believe confidently that he did. And all these things, they could communicate with each other, but yet they're strangers. They're strangers in a land that's not theirs. And so God the Father knew, he said, I love. And basically the rest of this text is about how God takes care of you in that state, okay? So if you feel like a stranger in the world, this whole thing is going to bless you. Verse 2 says, God the Father knew and chose you long ago. And I love this phrase, and his Spirit has made you holy. Everybody say, the Spirit made me holy. You didn't do it. You couldn't be holy if you tried. You just couldn't. Y'all, you know you've tried it, right? And you said, boy, Lord, if you just give me one more day, I promise that tomorrow I won't say what I did today. And then tomorrow it gets here and, oh, well, there it is again. And it's just like this whole concept of, but he says the Spirit who God put inside of us believers has made us holy. And as a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he says, may God give you more grace, more and more grace and peace. And this idea of more and more grace and peace is something they needed desperately. Because if you're, is that too close to me, man? I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing here. So have you had those days where you thought, man, I need a whole lot of grace and peace today? This is one of those days, man. Lord, I just need you to be gracious to me because I've lost it. I'm down. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. Whatever it is that you are, you find yourself in those places and you go, well, let me tell you, God, he, every time you need a bucket full of grace, he's got a wheelbarrow full of it. He's going to pour more out than you can ever accept or receive in your own mind because you're thinking there's no way he can be that good if I'm this bad. And they're living in this strange place trying to be believers in Christ, who is pretty much about to be. This was written somewhere around 60 to 62 AD. And so it's right before Nero comes in and turns the world upside down and Christianity becomes illegal and people are being burned on crosses and fed to wild dogs just because they said, Lord Jesus. A Roman soldier could meet you on the street with a spear or sword and put it to your throat and say, Lord Christ or Lord Caesar. And if you said the wrong thing, he by law could kill you right there in the street. It hadn't got that bad yet, but it was going there. And Peter knew it, and all these writers knew it. And he knew that these people were going to have the strength that they needed to move forward. Guys, we're different. We have different values. We have different standards. We have different goals. Your goals should be different from the world. Save your money. Do what you need to do with money and grow money and whatever you do it is with money and whatever it is. Buy that house and buy that car and do those things. But every one of those things are not substantial, period. They will not hold you up. So our standard says, yeah, we'll do those things, but we're not trusting in those things. So if they're all taken away tomorrow, we say here, open hands, open heart. Because when Abraham was given the gift of salvation, it was God's to give and God's to take away if he wanted to. And Abraham had the trust in God to say, I'm going to leave my hand open so, Lord, you can take whatever out you need to and put whatever out you need to put in. That's trusting God. And when we whine and fuss and gripe about something we don't have or wish we had, and I do it. We all do it. We get into that mode, especially in a culture like we're in where it's all about affluence and what you have or what you don't have or compared to what they have and all that stupidity that the devil's put into our heads. And Peter's calling these people out saying, I want you to be different. So what's he doing? First of all, what I want you to do is, since, if you have notes, when you came this morning, you probably were handed a worship guide. And you take that worship guide, there's some notes in there, you take those out, we're going to fill in some blanks together. And so, since it's true that we are different, we live in a different world, we are exiles, and Jesus is our only hope, and we have to trust God, number one, we have to be confident in Christ for eternal life. Not confident in this world, not confident in one another, not confident in this church. This is just another place where you can find Jesus, and we hope we try to do the best we can, and we want it to be something that, we don't want it to be something that, like I said, entertains you or makes you feel good. We want it to be a place where you can come and connect with Jesus. And when we become less than that, we need to become less than. We become less than that, we either need to repent or go away, because it's not about anything other than that. And so here's the deal. Peter says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Everybody say born again. Now, we say that a lot in our culture, right? Well, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a born. We say it in the South this way. For you guys who are up north, I say it like, well, I'm a born-again Christian. What about you? And we throw that word around, you guys, and it's really not even the best translation here. The word's literally born from above. And if you heard me teach through John, then you know what I'm talking about here. When Nicodemus approached the Lord, he said, you got to be born from above. And he's like, what? Nicodemus couldn't even figure it out. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand. But basically, it's what God does from up down instead of what we do from here up. We get so trusting in our sinner's prayer and our baptisms and our going to church and our communions and all the things that we've considered things that are have-tos and things that we need to do. And all those things are important and maybe even necessary. But listen, man, there is nothing like trusting God for your salvation. There's nothing like saying, okay, God, you're the one doing the work. I didn't do anything. I didn't bring anything to the table. I will, at the end of my time when I'm dead and I stand before God in judgment, the only thing that he's going to look at is what I did or didn't do and reward me differently based on that. But salvation is up to him, not me. That's right. People say all the time, man, well, you preached a funeral. You did such a good job at that funeral. And all. What do you even mean by that? I don't know. God's the saving one, not me or you or anybody else. I'm way off here, but that had to come out. I want you to learn that this is born from above. Why? How do we know it's from above? Because he says, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we live in great expectation. Expectation here is the same for hope. We live in expectation. I made a statement one time in a really, really conservative church, and it blew some people away. I said, I expect God to save me one day. And I grew up in a church that said you had to die on a good day and God had to be in a really good mood that day or you wouldn't get in. And I just remember people going, did he just say that? It's when I was beginning to learn about grace and understanding that none of this had to do with what I do. It's all about what he did. And it just transformed your life. And you live this great expectation. He says, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Everything around us is impure and it's defiled, and everything you see will go away in this world. But when we get to that new world, when the new heaven and the new earth comes down, there's not going to be any decay. There's not going to be any issues of stuff going away and gray hair and you know, creaking and bones and all these things. I had a young person tell me, who was that? Said their bones were creaking. I said, you ain't old enough for that yet. Oh, it was over here. We were talking about doing WD-40. Put some WD-40 on it. That'll make you feel better. So my thing is here, it's not going to be any of that. And he says, and through your faith, everybody say my faith. Through your faith, God is protecting you, not by your power, not by the church's power, not by Pastor Keith's power. He's protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for you to see. So be truly glad. There is joy ahead. And oh, I wish he had just stopped it right there. If he just, there's just joy ahead. Just come to Jesus and there's just joy ahead. But he didn't stop it there at all. He goes on to say, and even though you must endure many trials for a little while. So there's joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. I love how he throws that in there. He didn't want their minds to get on gold. You can't mention money in our culture without people going, what? That's right. What? That's right. And I just love how he says, but man, your salvation is so much more important than gold. Don't go to gold. It's just trying to give you an illustration here. And he says, it's so much more precious than mere gold. So, since all that's true, since your faith is going to be put to the test, and since God's going to do it, when your faith remains strong through many trials, not out of the trials, not away from the trials, but going through the trials. And anybody of any age who's been a Christian of any time at all in this room can tell you that there's things you're going to have to go through and deal with. And the false God that people have portrayed in our culture is that if you just come to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. And that's not true. I wish I could tell you it were, and I wish it were that way, but it's just not. In fact, so many times you come to Jesus and the challenges get deeper and harder and more. It's not like you're mustering up faith to do it, but your faith in God to have the strength to get you through those things is where you have to stay. He said it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. What does that mean? That means when the Lord comes back and I've been tested and tried and put through all these things, all God is interested in, did I trust him through it? And man, it's so hard. You guys who grew up in a CFC like me, you're going, but that's just too easy. I heard that preached before. Faith alone is just too easy. I mean, you got to do something. I mean, you got to put something in. We always were taught this. There was God's part and there was man's part. We were taught this. That there's God's part. You do your part and God will do his part. It's like this bargain thing. God couldn't even find anybody in Scripture that he could swear by enough to protect us, so he swore by himself. He said, you know what? I can't find anybody worthy, so I'll just do it myself. And he chose that, man. And it's like God's not mad at us for it, or God's not there. God is just, that's his job. It's like what he's like. It's not his job. It's his essence. Your job is not your essence. Jesus is. So it's not his job. It's God's essence to take care of you. God loves you so much. I don't care who you are or what you've done. God loves you so much that you can't fathom the depth of that love that he has for you. And he's saying, if you will put your trust in me, that one day when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back to take us home, all we're going to be done is pronounced into heaven and given based upon what we've done, our rewards and those kind of things. And it's not something floating around out in the sky, y'all. Man, I need to preach a sermon series on heaven. I know. Some of you have asked for it. You have, and I need to. My views about heaven has changed so much. But this idea or concept that God's just preparing some massive place way out yonder somewhere, we're just going to fly off in the sky one day and meet him. Man, it's just a misinterpretation of Scripture. God's coming down. He's coming here.
He's already came here. We left him. And ever since we left him, he's been chasing us down ever since. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. You can nail me to a cross. You can bury me. But you can do anything you want. But I'm coming back. And he came back with power. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching. And listen, that's what we trust in. I don't trust in anything else but that. And that is what makes it where when he comes back, I know because it's based on him. And the point here is that trials test our faith. You'll find out really quick. That's our next point in your notes. You'll find out really quickly how strong your faith is when you bump up against something that bumps up against your faith. Craig Rochelle points out three different kinds of faith. And really, really quick, these are weak faiths. You may have an inherited faith. Some of you are young enough in here, you may still have the faith of your parents. And hey, listen, praise God for the faith of our parents and our fathers and mothers. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not dogging that at all. I'm just saying don't stay there. Let it be your own. I love to watch our teens grow. And they come in here, they don't just come in here and mealy-mouth around about worship. Because what they're doing is they're sprouting wings to get away from mom and dad's faith and growing their own faith. And they're shouting to Jesus, not because mom and daddy do. They're doing it because they love the Lord. And they're committed to him. But that's a weak faith to say. Another one is shallow faith. Jesus mentioned it. He said, if you plant the seed in stony ground. Man, so many of us, listen, some of y'all need to put some stuff away and stop doing them. You got way too much on your plate. And what it's doing is it's choking you out. And you don't know what to do with it. Because if you give this up, somebody over here is going to get mad. If you stop doing this, then somebody over here is going to say something. If I don't do this, then I can't do that. And we can beat that horse to death all day long. But what's happening is it's making your faith shallow. Because the first thing you're going to jettison is church stuff. It's church gatherings. The first thing you'll jettison is things that don't matter as much to you because everything else is choked out. Anything in the world that God has put inside of you. And if we could just go back to the trust thing, if you would just trust him, that wouldn't be the most shallow part of your life. It would be the place where you would be deepening your life. How often are you praying? And I'm not talking about over the dinner table, and that's important. You need to do that. I'm talking about how often are you on your knees or on your face or just laying in bed or just sitting in a chair or driving down the road or whatever it is. And you just, y'all, we ought to have this kind of conversation with God that's just this ongoing thing. And it's a deeper faith than this shallow thing. Some of you have a conditional faith, and that is, as long as things are going well, I'm good. But as soon as something happens that doesn't go well, well, God just forgot about me. God don't love me. God don't love me anymore. God's mad at me, or God did whatever. What did I do wrong? I can't tell you how many people will ask me as a pastor. They'll say, what did I do wrong to deserve what I'm going through right now? This is a question that's it's not even a good question. I mean, the disciples ask it. This man didn't sin, or his parents sin. But you're going through stuff in life so that God can be glorified through you passing the test and the trial of your faith. It doesn't mean that what you're going through doesn't hurt. It hurts bad. I get it. But the genuineness of your faith down inside of you has to be from a centered place where it's trusting in God and nothing else. And how many times I lay in my bed at night as I'm going to sleep and say, God, I can't do anything about this, but I know you can, and I got to give it to you. If I don't give it to you, I'm going to keep being sick at my stomach, and my head's going to hurt, and I'm going to overthink things, and I'm going to get stressed out, and I'm going to stress out Liz, and I'm going to stress out my kids, and I'm going to stress out the church, and I'm going to forget what's important. And it's easy to do. I can't tell you. I'm just being transparent here. How many times, and it don't happen every day, but there have been days I've come to this office and sat in there and just opened my computer, and nothing happens. And the reason is because I've allowed the condition of my faith at the moment to weaken to the point that I can't even write a message. You know, that's just real. And when that happens, and you don't feel like praying, you better reach out to somebody. Reach out to God. Yes, he's going to listen. But, man, find somebody that will help strengthen you in that and go through that walk. If I didn't have all those people around me, man, I just don't know what I would do. I don't know. I have no idea. Man. So he goes on. I love how Peter takes the next step. He says, well, some of you think, well, if you could just see Jesus, it would be better. These people had, this was long enough after Jesus had been gone that some of these people hadn't seen Jesus. Well, Peter did. So he writes this in here. He said, you love him even though you haven't seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. I wonder if it impressed Peter. Because Peter saw those things. I mean, Peter walked with Jesus, and he saw the transfiguration, and he saw the resurrection. And he witnessed all. He was in the tomb going, hey. I mean, just on and on. He saw so many things. These people hadn't seen anything, and I wonder if Peter ever scratched his head and go, you know what, man, it baffles me how these people never saw what I saw, and they're trusting what I'm saying, and they're trusting in Jesus. And I just, he says it. You trust. He said the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So, what have we learned so far? We've learned that Christ has to be the center of everything, that we trust God over everything. That in this world, we're living as strangers, and we are exiled, and we're outside of what the world sees as normal. And sometimes that makes us feel a little weird and strange, and it puts us in those points and moments in our lives where we are ridiculed or put down or whatever it is. And we feel that tension of what am I going to do in this moment? And God is just saying, just trust me through it. Just trust me through it. Let's get to the other side of this. I promise you, I'm with you. I'm not leaving you, and on and on. So Christ has to be the why of our lives. We learned in the last series I did in Colossians that he has to be supreme. That means that he has to inundate our lives, that he has to be the point of everything. And for the rest of this message, I want to talk about, since Christ is the why of our life, how do we live? And the first point is this, to set our mind on action. To set our mind on action. Peter says it this way, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. That sounds like two different things, doesn't it? But it's really not. If you have a King James Bible or older translations, it'll say, gird up the loins of your mind. And basically, the picture he wants you to get to see is like, when I get ready to run, first thing I have to do is pull my britches up. Yep. That's girding up your loins in the South. It means pull your britches up and get ready to go. I still have not understood the whole sagging thing. Is it gone? Maybe it's gone. I haven't seen it as much lately. Is it still here? This is the dumbest thing in the world. I've never seen anything in my life. If you do it, it's up to you, man. If you want your underwear to hang out and everybody see all that. But if you have to get away from somebody in a hurry, you better gird up your loins or you're going to fall all over yourself. That's all I'm saying. And what Peter's trying to get us to do is, since Christ is our why, then we have to straighten out the thoughts of our mind and have self-control. He says, and the way to do that is not muster up your strength. Like the kid told me that day, I'm just going to stop doing drugs. I'm going to muster up another. You can't do it. You can't do it. He says, exercise self-control. Do the things that you can. But the next phrase he says is, put all of your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. At the end of the day, at the end of time, it's all you have. You can't point to anything in judgment day and go, look at my bank account, Lord, I saved up a lot of money. Okay. Look at my marriage. It's wonderful and amazing. That's great. I'm glad. All those things are good. Nothing wrong with any of that. Look at my kids. They all turned out such and such. Or look at this situation and look what I did, Lord. All we're going to be able to do is say, Lord, I'm a mess. And I thank you for sending the Messiah. And I'm just on his mercy. If you're going to let me in, it's all up to you, Lord. There's not going to be any questions. That's just my way of accommodating what some of us are trying to think. We're in. Prepare your minds. Gird up your minds. Be self-controlled. But above all, put your hope in Jesus, your confidence in it. Number two is to keep your life moving forward. Keep your life moving forward. So, yeah, you got to set your mind on action and move forward, trusting God. But then you got to fall forward. I call this falling forward. Move your life forward. Peter says it this way. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now, this is hard. This is hard preaching, but listen to what he says. Now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy as I am holy. And this idea of holy, we think of it as being morally pure or right or any of those things. The word holy literally simply means this thing is set. It literally means set apart. It's where we get our word sanctified. It's where things are different. The idea is that we have to be unlike the world. It means we don't like the things they like anymore. We need to change our mind about that because our Lord and Master doesn't. God is holy in a whole other sense. God is holy, meaning that God is unlike any other thing that exists. That's what that means. When you say God is holy, it doesn't mean God is sitting on a throne somewhere going, "Assalam, I am holy. I am holy Lord. Yes, I am the holy Lord. That's who I am." It's not what he's doing. It just simply means God is unlike any other thing that exists. He is completely, utterly separate and different. And he's asking us to be holy that way. This text can be very intimidating in a legalistic church where you're told you got to act a certain way and be a certain way. And by the way, I have no problems in calling us out to live a holy life. If you see me acting out of spiritual order, you have every right to call me back into order. We need to be calling each other back into order. Why? Because he says, be holy like I'm holy. That means we got to not look like everything else around us. And he just, holiness is not exact obedience to the law. Nobody can do that. It's reflecting his holy nature in our relationships with other people and our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's living outside the natural realm and depending on a supernatural power to help us get there.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Man, I hope this is getting through. It's a lot of word today. It's a whole lot of word. And this next, Galatians 5:16 kind of clears it up. Paul says this. He says, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. There you go. There you go. And so you have to build a relationship with him. And you have to listen to his utterings and his words and his nudges and his draws and his pulls. He's never going to lead you away from Jesus. In fact, his work, the Holy Spirit's work, is to convict us of who Jesus is. He'll always point back to Christ, and Jesus is the center of it all. He says, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Y'all get the cravings, right? I told you guys, Liz and I are working on, and Tabitha, and several others in our church are working on eating better and having these different things. And I'm telling you, man, you go into a restaurant. Oh, man. Liz and I were out of town the other day. We went up to see Miss Joanne. And by the way, y'all pray for Joanne. She's supposed to have heart surgery. Joanne Foreman. Many of you probably don't know. It's been a while since she's been able to be here. But if you don't know her, pray for Joanne Foreman. She's got to have open heart surgery, possibly stents now. They're looking at possibly not doing open heart, which would be a blessing for her. But we went to see her the other day. Well, when we finished, it was time for us to eat. We're on this clock. We got to eat at certain times and da-da-da-da. And so we wind up being at Cracker Barrel. Because at Cracker Barrel, you can get grilled chicken and grilled meat and green beans. and things that we're legally can eat right now, okay? But Lord help me, that's like walking an alcoholic to the liquor store, man. I believe the devil that day set us down at a table where every tray that came by had fried chicken and those corn muffins. Liz kept going, oh, corn muffins. I mean, just all those. We were both, it was so funny because we're trying to not let it distract. And hey, we didn't sin, by the way. We kept it straight, all right? We did it right. We got it right. But man, the temptations, and y'all, the world is that way for people. The devil's dangling trinkets of things all around you all the time. He says, oh, that looks good. I want some of that. And I'll have some of this. And can I have some of that? And before long, you find yourself up in some of that, and you're lost. You're lost. And listen, I laugh about the eating part of it, but that's a very serious thing to us right now, really. And we're losing weight and feeling better, and that's great. But when you look at people in the world that you know right now, maybe in your family, they're giving their life to the devil every day, and maybe they don't even know it. They've been so wrapped up in it so long, they don't even know. Listen, I wish they knew. I wish they knew. I really wish that people could have the peace that I have. And I know some of you who know me close, you know that sometimes I get out of peace and I get all tore up about things, but genuinely, down deep inside of me, I have a genuine peace in Christ. That when all the world comes apart, he is still with me. There's nothing I can do to separate that. And that's what I want for my people. And that's what I want for people around me to have. And the next time someone cuts you off or makes you mad or gets in line in front of you or does something, you got one item and they got 62 and they don't let you in front of you to go through the checkout line and all that stuff. And you just, before you're tempted to just throw a fit about it, just be grateful for the moment that you have. Maybe it's a time to pray. I don't know. And I'm not telling you things that are easy for me, because here's the point. The next point is this, is we're not our own. You don't belong to you. Amen. And that's so against our culture, isn't it? Our culture says we're all about me. Just do what yourself wants. You please yourself. You've pleased all those other people all these years. Why don't you, just time for you to please yourself. I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. Scripture never tells us to please ourselves. He says, for you know that God paid a ransom for you from your... God paid a ransom to save you from your empty life. He's trying to save you from the emptiness that's out there. Because it doesn't matter how much you drink it up or wear it up or drive it up or live in it up or whatever you're trying to do up to make your life better. You can have all that stuff. And everybody who's ever had all that stuff knows that none of that stuff, it's empty. It's an empty life. Live the life that Jesus paid for. He says, you inherited from your ancestors. You inherited that old bad stuff from them. He says, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was paid with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose you, or chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Long before they began. I mean, how many of you went to anybody go to college because your parents at some point way back when started a college fund for you, and you got to go through college because of what they did way back there before you was ever in the world? Anybody, that happened to anybody? There's one or two, yeah. Pretty nice to walk through there and go, hey, it's all paid for because of what they did. Same thing happened with God. Before he said, let there be light, he said, I'm going to pay for Keith's sins because I know Keith's going to mess it up. I'm going to make a way for Adam and Eve to be saved. You ever thought about that? As a kid, I always just assumed that Adam and Eve started it all, so they're going to hell, right? Didn't have to. They didn't have to. Didn't have to. I love it that God is just here to pay for and ransom and to give. He says he did it before the world began. He said, but now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. What would that have meant to these people? They're in exile. Not really exile. They're living in a strange country. They're having life in a strange place. They know who Jesus is. And Peter's trying to say to them, God's revealed this to me to give it to you so that you can have some comfort in the place that you're living right now. Praise God if it feels strange to you to live in this world. Because if it does, he's already prepped a way for us that we can depend on and trust in and never fall back from. Thank God that Peter wrote this stuff. Because it is just so powerful to let me know that it's not dependent upon me. Before the world was created, he did that. And so since we belong to Jesus, the last blanks to fill in here is, we show our love for each other deeply. God has never given you anything that he doesn't want you to give away. Can I say that again for the new folks? God has never given you anything that he doesn't want you to give it away. And there's lots of ways to do that. When our kids were little, we had a week where we let them run the household. They paid the bills. They fixed the meals. It's a long story I'd love to tell you. I've told it before here. But the point they learned from that is that this light bill just doesn't get, you know, it doesn't magically get paid. Somebody has to go do that. Somebody has to go do that. Somebody had to love those kids enough to keep the lights on for them so that they could have a life. And that was us. Oh, in the week they were in charge, the light bill was due. And they said, what do we do? I said, well, you better pay it. All I got to say. What happens if we don't? They turn them off. You'll pick us up, Dad. No, we know. Try me. And oh, the dinners were hilarious. This one over here opted out for the first 3 days. And then his sisters like to beat him up over it. So he finally figured out he needs to get involved. One night for supper, we had hamburger helper and a loaf bread. That was all it was. Loaf bread stacked up and hamburger helper on the table. We just ate it. Our point was trying to get them to understand that because we love you so much is why we provide these things. And somebody has to do this. And listen, God has been saying all these years, he said, you were cleansed from your sins. This is the passage. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now, See what he says? He doesn't say you were cleansed from your sins, therefore you just hang out and wait till God comes back. He says, no. So now you must show sincere love to others as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Y'all, that's church. That's church. So many of you guys are guests today, and you have your own church home back in Tennessee, and so several people from Tennessee here today, and that kind of thing. Y'all Memphis, that's right. Memphis is Tennessee, right? Well, that's part of it is, anyway. Part of it's Arkansas. You guys Tennessee or Arkansas? Tennessee, all right. I figured that. All right, so we got all these people from around, and you guys have church homes. I hope you do. If you don't, you need to. And you go find that. Those are your people. We're not perfect at it, but we love each other because he says we've been given that love, and it's meant to be given away. It's all meant to be given away. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do what we do. So live as strangers. Don't be of this world. And the only way to do that is to live by the power of the Spirit and by the power of the resurrection of Christ. That's all we have to stand on, people. If Jesus didn't come out of the grave, this is all for nothing. If he didn't come out of the grave and resurrect out of that grave by the power of the Spirit that was in him and move himself up out of that grave, then this whole Christianity is a farce. But he did. He did. So how do you know? You weren't there. Well, there's evidence for one thing, but I simply believe it because I believe it. And when you show me an alternative in this world that's better than a God who loved me so mercifully and graciously that in spite of my sin, he decided that he would give his son, and all I need to do is trust that, you show me a better alternative than that, and I'll follow it today. It's just not there. I've looked. In my weak times in my life, I've looked for other ways. Some of you have. You've searched other ways to try to figure it out. It all falls short, doesn't it, to a faith in Jesus Christ. Can I say something to the people who've been a part of Discovery for a long time? Can I ask you not to lose heart because of this? Sometimes, man, it's like so many new people coming, and it's like, what are we going to do with all these people? Well, God's saying, well, I prayed for you to get all these people. You've been praying about all these people. Now they're coming. And you know what he's saying to us, you guys who've been here from day one? He's saying, trust me. Will you just trust me? I'll be honest, man. Before I got up here today, and I just told Mike, I said, man, I'm really super nervous about this because there's a lot of passages of Scripture here and a lot of things to tie together. But it's been fun to me. I don't know about y'all. I've really enjoyed breaking this word open to you, and I hope it's made some sense to you. And if it has, the only way that can happen is by the power of the Spirit. It's not me at all. And so, the good news is that all of this stuff is going to last for an eternity. How many of y'all in the room are saved? Raise your hand. Come on. How many of y'all saved? Y'all in Christ Jesus. You know confidently you're in Christ. All right, put your hand down. If that's true, and it is true, I believe with all my heart, you're saved. Your eternity don't start way down yonder somewhere. Your eternity starts. It's here. You're in it. You're in it. Peter ends this, we do the chapters and verses, but my message is going to end today with this part of Peter's writing. He says, for you have been born again. There it is again, born from above. God did this work in you, but not to a life that will quickly end. God didn't hang you out to dry in this faith. And even if you die a martyr's death, claiming Jesus with your last breath, he has redeemed you. Yeah, that's all right, sis. You can clap for that. Thank you. That's true. And it's the only way we can watch a loved one die and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he says this, your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. I can argue that that living word of God is Jesus, okay? I believe that's what he's saying. Because he goes on to say, as the scriptures say, and then he quotes this passage from Isaiah. So if you put yourself in a Jewish mind, when he starts reading Isaiah, most really good Jewish people knew Isaiah. And they would recognize this. As the scriptures say, it's not that he's talking about Old Testament Isaiah. I wish I'd remember the reference, but you can look it up. He says this. People are like the grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And Peter stops there with the quotes. That's what the Old Testament passage said. If you were a staunch Jew and you was following God from Torah all the way through Genesis through Deuteronomy, you know it. You knew all these passages, the Old Testament prophets, and you'd be thinking, the word of the Lord has to be Torah. The word of the Lord has to be that. What we would call Old Testament. But then Peter adds a phrase. And when he adds this phrase, he says, and that word is the good news that was preached to you. Peter ties this up by saying, you might be trusting in some other word or some other thing out there, but the word that's going to save you, the word that's going to, yeah, we're like grass, but we're going to go away. My grass is dying. Praise Jesus. I hope it don't come back. I don't want to cut it again. But it's because it's been so hot, and you can watch it, and it's dying out, and that kind of stuff. And that's just the cycle of life. If the Lord lets it stand through wintertime, it'll turn brown in the wintertime, and it'll be dead for that moment, but then it'll come back again. And over and over and over again, we see this cycle of life and death and life and death and life and death. And you and I are the same way. But the gospel that I'm preaching to you today, that is, you have to trust God for everything that you need in salvation and anything else. That's the only thing that's going to get you from here to when the new earth and the new heavens are created and God comes back and we can walk into the city of God. And the gates are open. We just walk in, and there he is. We see him. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we fought here and gone through trials and gone through the stuff we've been through, and then we're standing there before him and we see him? I barely can't contain it here. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Everybody says, well, I'm going to hug his neck. I don't know. Fall on my face. I don't know. I just don't know. But I can't wait to find out. And he's waiting on you. Can I get you to stand with me, please? And our prayer team, take their places. When something bad happens in your life, I didn't say if, but when. And by the way, for those of you who are guests, our prayer team will be all around this room. You don't have to come forward. We don't ask you to come forward and say anything out loud. We want this to be between you and God. If you want somebody to pray over you, you go to some of these folks that are standing around the edges of the room. They would love to pray for you. You can go there anytime. But when you go through something hard, you're gonna start asking questions. And one of the temptations most of us have, and I've done it, is ask why. Why is this happening now? Why did I lose my job this week? Why are my goals not being met? Why do I have this? And why does that happen? Why does this person have to die? And this person, and on and on. And you can ask the question why, but a better question to ask is who? Who am I trusting in that's going to get me one step closer to being out of this mess that I'm in? And God's gotten people out of messes. I mean, he loves you so much right now. He wants you out of your mess, but he's waiting on you to move to him so that he can love you through whatever you're going through. This is a moment in time that you have. Almost every church in the world does what we're about to do, and that is to give you an opportunity to pray. The whole song we're singing is, I will build my life upon you, Lord. I'll build my life on you. And I want you to do that. I want to be that. I want to be better at doing that. Don't ask why. Ask who. Who do I need to talk to about this? Well, the answer is always God. Please. If you're weak in faith today, praise God that you're here. If you're in the room today and you don't even believe that all this is real, I'm so glad you're here. I'd love to hear your story. Honestly, love to hear your story and know where you are. Not to convince you of anything, but just to hear you. You know why? Because you're valuable. God loves you so much that even if you don't believe in him, he still gave his son for you. He did. And I want you to build your life on him. Father, this morning I pray over this group of people. I pray, Lord, for those who are just hurting in some way, Lord. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's financial, maybe it's mental. Maybe there's someone here today who's depressed and they don't even know why. Been there, done that. Maybe somebody here today, Lord, is just tired. Tired of juggling all the things in their life and tired of trying to keep up with everything they think they need to keep up with, and it's just not working. Father, I pray for the couples in this room that are married. I pray, Father, that they will learn to love and to grow in that love toward you, Father. That they would submit their individual lives to you and in turn, let that bring them closer to one another. God, I pray for those in the room right now that are young people. I pray for them, Lord, as they see the world around them falling apart and wondering what kind of future they might have, Lord. Praise your name, Holy Father, that we have our young people that are willing to stand in the gap and to love other people no matter who they are. And I pray over them, God, that you will bless them with strength and intestinal fortitude for you. That's not just about mustering their own strength, but they will strengthen themselves in you. Father, I pray for those in this room who are strong in their faith, who love this church and who want to lead and to stretch their lives into the lives of others and are willing to give up their time and their efforts, Lord. I pray that if they're discouraged, God, you will bring them up out of that, Lord, that you will strengthen their lives. I pray for all of our guests today, God, people that I have no idea who they are, or where they come from, or whatever, Lord, but you do, and you know every situation, everything that they need in their lives. Some are grieving, some are hurting, some are sick, some have family members that are outside of you, Lord. I just pray over them as a general prayer, Lord, that you bless and that you heal. God, we just ask that you come into this room and fill this place with your spirit as we build our life on you. Father, we want to focus our life on you. We want to put our life and all of our trust, God. There's nothing in the world we can do on our own, but all of our trust is in you, Lord. We trust you for everything in our life, God, especially those things that are supernatural, God. We can't do it. We're just natural. We need supernatural help. So Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us right now in this room, God. Fill us up with your spirit so deeply that it's palpable. We can feel your presence and know your presence, God. Not that it's about the feeling, but God, we just want to know and sense that you're here. We want to put our arms around you, Lord, and see you for the very first time, Lord. And we look forward to the day when we can walk into your throne room and sit in your lap and hear what you think about us, and we can tell you what we think about you and how much we love you face to face, God. We just honor you in that and praise you for the hope and the confidence of salvation that we have, Lord, and that this is not a game, Father. We trust it. We know it's not a game. This is life. This is what's real, and God, we just praise you and honor you for allowing us to have this kind of life and to be able to do what it is that we do, God. So we just praise you, and we glorify you, and we honor you. But everybody in the room who agree in Jesus' name to say amen right there. Amen. Could y'all give God a hand clap of praise right there? He is so worthy. He is worthy. This is not about anything but him. If you're feeling something and you need to step out and pray with somebody, they're going to be there for you. They're going to stand there for a little bit. Please, don't. If you're a guest, don't feel at all ashamed or like you can't. Please come and enjoy that. And I want to ask, is there anybody in the room? And y'all can look around. We're not going to do this head bow thing, whatever y'all want to do. You don't have to. You can close your eyes if you want to. But is anybody here just will admit right now that I need a specific prayer? I'm not going to ask you what it is. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. But I want to pray for you. Here's one, two. Come on, there's three back there in the room. They're all over this room. God's touching hearts, my brother right here. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Anybody else want me to pray over this? Prayer team, come on, let's raise our hands together. Let's open our hands. Anybody in the room, would you just please lift up your hands if you'd like? Bible says pray with men, pray with holy hands lifted. I want to pray over these people, God, Father, who right now, who have just publicly in front of all these people raised their hand and said, there's some stuff going on in my life that I need you for, Lord. I need you to come in. I need you to come in and move. I need you to come in and move in relationships. I need you to come in and move in my own personal life. Father, whatever it is, if it's, I'm not going to venture a guess, but God, you know every aspect of everything that's going on in everyone's life. And so over these who have said, I need some prayer today, God, I pray for clarity of faith. I pray for strength through the trial. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to inundate their life right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you will come into their lives so strongly that today when they walk out of here, they'll have a spring in their step and a thought in their mind, Father, that you are with them and sense and know your presence beyond more than anything else in the whole world, God. I just pray that more than what we have for lunch or what we do tonight or what we do tomorrow, whatever, that you will inundate every aspect of their lives. Thank you for their courage to stand up today and say, I need you, Jesus. And I just praise you for it. And it's all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all get in these modes and it's all right, man. Let's praise him again. I literally get in these modes and I don't want to leave, but I want to dismiss you. I want to dismiss you to each other. If you can stay around, please hang out with us just a little bit. Let us get to know you a little bit better. And we love you. We're glad you're here. Praise God, man. I'm seeing the fruit of labor. And it's so much fun. I'm sorry. I'm an emotional dude. You just guys going to have, you folks that don't like emotion, you're just going to have to deal with me sometime. But I love you so much. And I pray that God go with you and you have a wonderful, blessed Sunday. Hey, go.